This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
High Noon, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. As with Grossbeck earlier today on the Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of it, Odyssey app. They are, my God, are they pushing the He Loves the Celtics thing.
Did he get the team because he's the biggest fan? Did he win the biggest fan contest?
He owns a green foam finger.
I was like, I'm a big fan of the team. Can I have the team? They're like, well, no.
It's he's all no chicken hat guy.
No, he's not a chicken hat guy. And I think the $7 billion may have played a hand in this sale as well. But fear not, Celtics fans. He's one of you.
I swear to God, the way my brain works, I'm like, they're pushing it so hard. This guy might not even, he may have never watched the Celtics game. Like, they're pushing it so hard. He doesn't even know who the Celtics are hardly.
You know, on this show, we are a big doth protest too much group.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you're doing a lot right now when
too
it
much.
Comes to him being a fan. Like, okay.
Chill out.
The first time you said it, I believed you.
Right.
Like, he grew up here, you know, went to Dartmouth and then, like, you know, made a lot of money out in California or whatever. Like, okay. He's a Celtics fan.
Sick brag,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. But if you were just like, he is a Celtics fan, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, I got it.
But now everywhere, like every statement, every this, that, and the other thing is like, he is. And then the fact that Pag
said he's not a true Celtics
right.
fan. Right.
Yeah. So then there's that too.
Yeah.
Which is what a story this has turned into. Like, you knew they were for sale. Like, moment that they're still picking confetti up off of the parade route and the team goes up for sale. And then now you get this and it's not Pags. He has a statement yesterday. Wick comes on the air today. He has a lot to say, which we'll get into. But yeah, man, everywhere they turn, it is, this guy's a fan. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's like, guess what? Celtics fans are often Patriots fans. And we have seen over the last several years, a diehard Patriots fan doesn't mean you spend a lot of money on the team.
It's a great point.
So John Henry, not a Red Sox fan, he's been criticized for both not spending and then celebrated for when he does spend. Robert Kraft and John Henry have been way more similar in their ownership time than, you know, somebody who's sitting on the metal bleachers versus somebody that owned a different team at one point and then swooped in and got this one.
It's true. We also have a little bit of a lie already from this guy.
Oh, no.
Okay, so he's the biggest Celtics. No one's a bigger Celtics fan. He totally watches every Celtics game.
Encyclopedia-like memory.
He watches every Celtics game, even though they start at 4 o'clock on the West Coast.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't know the guy's work schedule. He's a billionaire. Maybe he doesn't have to exactly show up every
single day. You make
your own
schedule at that point, yeah.
But, I mean, you know.
Maybe have a TV in his office.
He's watching the Celtics every single game. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Textline pointed this out earlier today. He claims he's from the North Shore.
All right, I'm listening.
Is Georgetown, Mass. The North Shore? Text earlier today said, since when did we start counting Georgetown as the North Shore? So I'm looking at it. I'm not a North Shore guy. I don't really know. Newburyport. Raleigh, Ipswich. Those are all on the coast. Are you North Shore if you're not touching the coast? Georgetown is really more like Haverhill or Topsfield than it is.
That sort of eliminate
Newburyport.
The shore part, I believe.
One would think.
Of North Shore.
Now, colloquially, are we counting Georgetown as part of the North Shore? I guess I don't know.
That's a good question. I'm not the best when it comes to the geography.
But already he's stretching the truth a little bit. So if you're going to lie about that, what won't you lie about?
Yeah, I always found it weird when people would like say like a region, like where they're from, or like an area. It's like, well, where are you like specifically? Like, we know. For example,
the Northeast Kingdom, I'll say that.
Like, if you're talking to somebody from like, and you're out of state,
Yep.
And somebody's like, hey, where are you from? I'd be like, New Hampshire. Like, I'm not going to bog it down with the town because nobody would know. But when you're talking to, like, local people, I would like,
by the popcorn stand?
Like, oh, I live in Massachusetts. Like, yeah, right, we all do. Where do you live specifically? Like, oh,
North Shore.
Boston area.
Yeah.
I know the area. Where are you from?
Yeah,
I always found that odd. But so anyway, maybe a little
What's worse,
lie.
That or somebody who goes, I'm from Boston, but then they're from, like, Georgetown?
Oh, yeah, no, that is.
No, I'm from Boston. Are you?
Are you?
You're from basically New Hampshire.
Like an hour away.
Yeah.
Like, so New Hampshire or Maine? Like, you could narrow
like
it down.
They show the Zakeham during a Patriots game.
Oh, yeah. They tour through Faneuil Hall.
Yeah.
Then they like, and now.
They're like, it's 35 miles away.
It is. Yeah. It is a hike.
This is a good point. Twitch chat says Arkane will be all over this. All right. If Arkane can give me a definitive answer, what is
North Shore?
Is Georgetown the North Shore?
I don't know.
And do you have to be touching the shore? I would think that's the implication there. So already, if he's going to lie about that, what won't you lie about, sir?
That's fair.
What I'd like to know. Maybe you're Celtics fandom on top of it.
All right, let's see. Georgetown is a town in Essex County, Massachusetts.
Yep.
What else?
Should we Google AI it? Google AI is already, what is the North Shore? Can we Google AI that? Google AI, I'm not arguing with anymore now.
No.
The rule with me on infield versus catcher.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what's our Google AI answer for the North Shore? Can they define that?
Let's see. It is 10 miles east of Lawrence, 11 miles south-southwest of Newburyport.
Newbury where?
Newburyport.
Port.
28 miles north of Boston.
Billy's got it.
All right, AI overview. The North Shore of Massachusetts, a coastal region north of Boston, includes cities and towns like Lynn, Salem, Gloucester, Beverly, Marblehead, and Newburyport, among others.
Well, yeah, I don't think he counts.
Yeah, I think already
this is real flimsy.
This guy's already yanking our chain.
I think so.
Already,
Wikipedia
I don't like it.
Says that it might be part of.
Might be.
Damn, Manchester you gotta... by the Sea, Rockport, Newburyport, Ipswich, Swampscott, Nahant, Revere, Saugus, Winthrop, Amesbury, Danvers.
Yep.
Essex, Peabody, Salisbury, Raleigh, Topsfield, Middleton, Hamilton, Boxford.
Topsfield?
Georgetown.
Yeah. Oh!
Other North Shore communities, it says.
Yeah, if you count.
So, okay.
If you're counting Topsfield, you're probably counting Georgetown.
So
I'm not sure those should count.
They might get it, though. They might get it might count.
Again, AI overview.
Okay. Well,
you know who was also.
I'm mousetrapped. I have to side with Google AI now, so it's something.
You know who's also from Georgetown, Massachusetts?
Not Patrick Ewing.
Close.
Yeah.
Pat Fryermuth.
Oh, wow.
I always thought he was from Newburyport, but maybe he's listed here as a notable person from.
Maybe people in that area. Maybe people from Georgetown are just big liars. He's like telling everybody he's from Newburyport.
Brian St. Pierre, former BC quarterback.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's like a football hotbed. And Jenny Thompson, the U.S. Olympic swimmer. Huh.
Not familiar with
her. She lived there for a little bit. Yeah, she's a good swimmer. Okay. Yeah, she had some good races.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keith. Wick said something very ominous in that interview.
Yeah.
When he wasn't trumpeting this guy's Celtics fandom.
Huge fan.
Which, as you pointed out, works out for Wick, too. It's like, I didn't just give it to the highest bidder.
Definitely.
I gave it to a big, giant Celtics fan.
I can see why Wick's doing it. I think I guess I sort of understand why even Bill Chisholm would come in with this, because you want to be, hey, you know it's a passionate fan base. You know the team's really good. You know it can be critical and all this stuff. Especially if you are truly a fan, you would know how fans would react. But it is. Every single interview, every single written statement, they're talking about it. So I was like, okay, guys, we get it.
Yeah.
Like, you're big fans.
But there's a reason for Wick to do it. It's a good point.
But yeah.
Obviously, this guy wants to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Wick said this, though, about the second apron, the luxury tax. It's not... how long they're going to keep the roster together. And I think this is a scary answer if you're a Celtics fan.
It's not the luxury tax bill. It's the basketball penalties. Okay, the new CBA was designed by the league to stop teams from going crazy. And they decided that it's not just good enough to go after the wallets, because then the fans are like, hey, you know, find somebody who can afford to spend, whatever, $500 million a year or whatever it is. The basketball penalties mean that it's even more of a premium now to have your basketball general manager, your basketball president, be brilliant and lucky, because you've got to navigate, because you can't stay in the second apron. Nobody will. I predict for the next, 40 years of the CBA, no one's going to stay in the second apron more than 2 years. So we have Brad Stevens, the reigning executive of the year, and thank God we do. He's the one that really brought us this championship with his brilliant moves. I mean, many other people, but Brad is forefront, and he's looking at this, and he's going to extend our window and make it work. I believe he will, and we'll find out in June and July what he decides to do.
We'll find out in June and July what he decides to do.
No, I know. And then thank God for Brad Stevens. He says, thank God for Brad Stevens, meaning... you can't just roll it back. If you had somebody else in place mm-hmm. and they just took over the Celtics today, say they hired you or me mm-hmm. and we made no moves, you'd have the same roster.
Right.
Al Horford is a free agent and he may retire or whatever, but Brown and Tatum are locked up long term. Derek White locked up long term. Holiday has a few years left. Porzingis has a year left. Peyton Pritchard signed a new deal. You have all those guys. Hauser, everybody with the exception of Horford that's worth anything on the team is signed for at least one more year. And in the cases of a bunch of these guys, for multiple years. And then you're still staying, thank God, for Brad Stevens. That, to me, is the first time I thought, all right, there's going to be significant roster changes after this year, which I thought they would stomach, even with the new owner, because I think you'd want to come in on a high note and keep that high note as long as you could, understanding you can make a lot more money if your team is going to the finals every year and is at the top of the league. I think you could do that. Where I also disagree. So I thought they might just keep the group together, pay through the nose, and then at some point, guys like Porzingis' contract's going to be up, Drew Holiday might retire, Horford might retire, and it might sort of solve itself. This is, though, a bit concerning.
So I agree, and you brought this up earlier, and it's a great point. He can talk about all the basketball penalties. It's not about the luxury tax. That's nonsense.
I think that's garbage.
They could have the whole roster back next year.
Yes.
The only reason you would break it up, it's not a you're not penalized at all. There's no basketball penalty to bring the roster back.
Right.
The only penalty would be luxury taxes, and that's why they're selling the team. That's why anybody would peel pieces off the roster. It's not about basketball.
So
penalty.
The basketball
don't let them tell you that.
No, that's insane. Yeah. Like, I don't think anybody actually believes that because it is just about spending more money. So the basketball, the second apron penalties would include no mid-level exception. Right. Right, if your roster's loaded,
right.
Who are you going to add at the mid-level that's going to help you? It also includes, like, teams cannot combine salaries of multiple players to trade for a match.
It's harder to make trades. It's not impossible, but it's harder to make trades.
But if your roster is already set,
thank
who
you.
Cares?
Right, thank
so,
you.
Like, Jaden Springer and, like, you know, hell, I mean, you've seen guys even like Baylor Shireman. Okay, Brad found a way to get him. I'm not saying he's going to help you in this playoff run, but he's a guy that can go in there, he can stick a couple threes, and he can be, like, a useful type player. Who else are you going to get? They're like, oh, you can't send cash out and trades. You can't, like, there's restrictions on sign and trades. Like, no. Your roster is good enough. If you're, like, especially if you're the back-to-back champions.
Yeah, if you have the team, what do you need to make a bunch of trades for? You don't.
You absolutely
so
don't.
So, Wick is, that's, I don't believe that at all. What he says is not about luxury taxes. The other important thing he says there, and what should be scary, even if you're going to be charitable and say, we'll see what Brad does this summer, maybe he's talking about Horford and his retirement. Maybe. If you're being charitable. I don't necessarily believe that, but fine, I'll give you that. He said very definitively, no team will be in the second apron more than two consecutive years. They're in it right now. If they're in it next year, they're breaking it up after that. He's letting you know right now, if they don't do it this summer, it's definitely happening the summer after that. So who's he talking about?
I don't know. I mean, I would assume he's talking about himself. I think he's sort of assuming that because of the restrictions on this, and just you're not going to be able to turn as much of a profit, right? You're
saying, like, who's he talking about on the roster? Like, moves are happening, is he talking about Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford, Derek White?
I think that's why he said thank God for Brad Stevens.
Got it.
Meaning, like, Wick knows that's not his level of expertise. He's not going to make the moves, but they're going to have to talk about it because, yeah, you could eliminate, I guess, just Jaylen Brown, or do you then say Holiday, Horford, and somebody else, and, like, make those monies match, right? Not that you're making a trade like that. I'm just saying, like, would you get rid of one guy at a massive contract or two guys at, like, pretty good size contracts? But yeah, it feels like they're gonna have some pretty hard decisions to make, whether they win it all for a second time or lose. But when Wick talks about teams in the league won't do that, yeah, because if you're not winning at that level,
right,
you can't even justify it. And then even the fans be like, hey, guys, we could keep Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant together so we can miss the playoffs?
Right.
Like, no, that's insane. Like, we need to move on for the benefit of everybody.
Right. Phoenix is not going to pay the luxury bills when their team is underachieving. Same thing with this Paul George example.
Right.
The Clippers weren't going to keep it together if they're underachieving.
No, they didn't even make a finals, let alone win the finals. Golden State was in a spot. Now, I know they've changed some of these second apron rules. I forget what year they did it. But the Warriors were paying crazy.
Exorbitant, yeah.
Crazy, way more than every other team. And they kept it together. And guess what? It wasn't their decision to get rid of Kevin Durant. who knows how much longer they would have kept it together. Durant left because he and Kyrie thought they could go win in Brooklyn.
It's a good point. Text line, 617-779-7937. Dice texts in. Georgetown just won the D4 basketball state title this year. Hell of a month.
Yeah, that is a big month for them.
It's a big month for Georgetown.
It's on the map.
New owner for the Celtics. We just found out Pat Farmuth is from there.
Iverson's got to be pumped.
Never mind Brian St. Pierre.
Dikembe Mutombo, Lonzo Mourning, Patrick Ewing.
There was also, I like this text as well. A Georgetown friend always considered herself North Shore. They identify with Newburyport. Since we, I'm assuming this person's from Newburyport.
Got it.
Since we have no reason to drive through, we don't consider it part of the North Shore.
All right, so there's a little bit of a fight. So Georgetown, well, because Georgetown's small, so maybe they're like, yeah, we'll lump in over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Newburyport touches the coast, the shore.
Yeah.
Not so much Georgetown. So again, if he's willing to lie about that, would he lie about his fandom and other things?
I'm nervous.
Slippery slope is all I'm saying.
I'm shooketh.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We got more on the Celtics. Like, for instance, thank God for Brad Stevens. How much longer is Brad Stevens going to stick around and do this? We can get into that with all your feedback right after Trending with Billy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me tell you, Keith. Living is a race to 10.
Congratulations,
that
Jones.
That is living.
That really is. What a fun time. Jones just hit his bet. Baylor, Mississippi State, first to 10.
Betting a race to 10 in the NCAA tournament, nothing gets you going like that.
The blood is pumping
I'll
right
tell
now.
You right now, there's no drug in the world. There couldn't possibly.
I'm surprised possibly he's not panting from how fast he's
running. He did. I took off a little bit.
I'm also glad it was just the first to 10, because if you bet the game straight up, we would have lost him for the rest of the day. So at least now it's like he doesn't have to focus on the game anymore.
Yesterday, you hear that? No, I was watching Creighton.
Not listening.
I wasn't. That kid on Creighton was so annoying. That little Anderson
little
or whatever his name is. He's 30 years old, but the full family.
They don't do like first to 70 or first to 60 bets?
I think you can do first to 20.
Yeah.
First to 10, man, is what
you can
I
do, like,
am.
First player to 10, right? You can do that, too, I think. I think you can change
NBA
player.
For
oh,
sure.
No, not, yeah, not here in college.
But yeah, so I'm not, yeah, I and, well, maybe in New Hampshire, that's true. No. Well, I'll check that.
Live free or die.
But, NBA, you can definitely do that. But, no, that's living. That's you want to feel alive, you better race to 10 on the college tournament. 617-779-7937. What are you snickering at over there?
Talking about the lease, like $25 beers and no margaritas helps the bottom line, not a lease.
Oh, no, that's true. So, right, I was distracted again. Very classic me. Wick is talking about no room in the city for another arena.
Yeah. So I was, the Rich Keefe stats and info came up with a little bit of work here. Steve Ballmer famously bought the LA Clippers, right? Mm-hmm. Their previous owner went out and bit of a mess, sort of forced out as he should be. So anyway, Steve Ballmer bought the Clippers in 2014.
I was just looking that up. Okay. Thank you.
2014, it took a while to build the stadium, to get everything approved, or their own arena, I should say, the Intuit Arena. This is the first year they've played in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it took 10 years from the minute he purchased the team to playing games in a new building.
The Warriors were about the same. Warriors were 9 years. Joe Lacob bought the Warriors. Okay. I looked this up in 2010. The Chase Center opened in 2019. So, yeah. Like, how long do those take to build? 3-4 years? I don't know. How long does it take for an arena? 3 years?
Yeah, probably. So once obviously, you open ground, I would say give it 3 years.
So more would go into it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're talking about a decade before you reasonably would even have a new arena built if you're the owner, based on their timeline.
And so Wick was pretty clear. Like, he was like, Boston is a one arena town. Now, is there nuance there? Like, is Everett Boston in your mind? I mean, no. If Georgetown's North Shore.
I was just going to say, if Georgetown is the North Shore, then
I guess all bets are off.
But
does he mean, like, literally the address is Boston? Could you put one somewhere else and it's not that far of a commute, that far of a drive?
He specifically said Boston, maybe he did that intentionally.
But also, I think this is part of Wick's job as governor, where he's not the owner and his dad's not the owner and he's going to be doing this. Like, isn't he going to be out there kind of getting the messages that they want across, which maybe aren't always the case? Like, I just don't think a guy is going to buy a team for as much money as he did and be like, yeah, we'll share.
Me neither.
We'll share the building.
What's the internet scuttlebutt you brought up before the show?
Oh, about would he also try to buy the Bruins? Although I've heard zero rumblings that the Bruins would be for sale, but then you'd own both teams in the same building.
So would he want to? Maybe. Could he afford it? No idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jeremy Jacobs, we looked this up. He's 85, so he's not that much younger than Irv.
Right.
So if he was getting to a similar point where he wanted to make some plans, I don't see Jacobs selling either.
I haven't heard any rumblings on that, so I would think that that's probably not going to happen, but it kind of opens the door.
But would that make sense to own both and own the arena? That would make sense. I don't know how realistic it is, but it would make sense.
Especially if you're trying to, at some point, flip it, like all these guys are. Like, I still go back to Mark Cuban. If Mark Cuban's going to sell his team, then any single owner would sell their team. He seemed to love it and enjoy being an owner more than anybody else. And for whatever reasons it comes down to, he decided to sell. So if, and I know he just bought it, but he's trying to sell it in 5, 6, 10, 20 years from now. He's trying to sell it.
He's a big Celtics fan. I don't really see him doing that.
So is Wick.
Yeah, true.
But if he ends up selling the team, to really get that profit, I think you got to own your own building.
You know what? We should look up at this guy actually with all of his lies about the North Shore. We should look. Does he have a rich father too? Like, should we just double check on this guy? Like,
I don't know. I couldn't find a lot on him, honestly.
You know what? Me either. Guy didn't even have a Wikipedia page.
How did he not have a Wikipedia? Wouldn't every billionaire have a Wikipedia page?
One would hope.
I would think.
Does this guy have a rich daddy? We should double check that, because for a long time we didn't really even know who
does he own the team?
Yeah. That's what I'm wondering. Like, does this guy have like a rich father who's shadow owning the team like Wick? We should probably double check that.
Although, but that was like, that wasn't completely hidden. I think people just looked the other way, right?
Wikipedia is pretty empty.
Oh, he does have a Wikipedia now?
He does.
As of yesterday, he did not have a Wikipedia.
So that's brand new. Bill Chisholm, by the way.
Yeah.
Bill
Chisholm.
I tried to tell you guys yesterday. You guys didn't think me and him were like that.
He's married. And he has 3 children.
Oh, nice.
See that?
Nice. I wonder if they lie about where they're from.
Grew up in Georgetown, which is on the North Shore. No, it doesn't say that. Interesting. All right. Just sort of, it's pretty thin here.
Okay. I think it's just basically a statement from yesterday.
Yeah, it's a lot of that.
The Wikipedia page was created in the last 24. It didn't exist yesterday. So
here we go. His father passed away 8 years ago.
Oh.
So that's,
Okay.
So
we don't have to worry about him secretly owning the team.
Don't think so.
Wick. Okay.
Nope. So that'll be a different situation than this.
The one thing about his dad in the Wikipedia page says that his dad established Georgetown High School's soccer program.
Well, I like that.
So I don't know how much money comes in from that. Man, so we don't know.
What kind of windfall he gets from the Georgetown High School soccer. Something to think about.
That's a good point,
Bill. Something to think about.
I immediately discounted that, and I should have spent more time on that. Uh-huh. Okay, so he really owns the team. Good. That's good to know. We firmed that up. I haven't seen anyone else report that.
No, but when the Celtics in 2003 were sold, it was, they did have a whole thing that was like, it was led by Irv Grossbeck, right? Like, his name, obviously, right. Steve Pagliuca was a part of that.
It's a good point.
It wasn't
in the beginning. Then the guy just went away and we never saw him and never really knew anything about him.
And we saw Wick everywhere. We saw Wick at the games. Wick would do media appearances. Wick would be there on like draft night. And like, you just sort of were like, all right, that's the guy. Yeah, he went to the lottery a couple times. Like, that That's the guy.
No, right.
And then you knew there wasn't one sole owner, but I don't think we realized like the percentages and things like that.
No, it was a shock to everyone. I think when it was Irv driven and driven by Wick's siblings and that estate. I mean, I think that was surprising,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
617-779-7937, rather. You can jump in here on the phones. Meanwhile, with March Madness in full swing, some of us are winning races to 10.
How about that? What a feeling.
Brag of the week. But when it comes to Brad Stevens and how long he wants to be here, it tends to come up every March. I forget where he did this interview, but he just said he's not interested in the Indiana job. He's asked about this seemingly every single year. How much longer is Brad Stevens going to do this for? And should there be any concern among Celtics fans that he would be interested in going back to college, not as a coach, because I don't see him coaching again. I know you do more than I do.
Yeah.
But Nick brought up earlier today, and it's a good point, all these colleges have GMs now, like Lombardi with Bill Belichick.
Different job, yeah.
And you're in charge of the NIL money, the nil money, as our one caller referred to it.
Nil money. Yeah.
And so, I don't know, maybe that's a way you go back to Indiana. You're not coaching. It's not the day-to-day, you know, just exhaustion of being a head coach. And you could go be the GM in Indiana or the GM at Butler or something like that. Maybe that would appeal to him. I don't see that happening anytime soon.
I don't either, but I think it has to be at least on the table for discussion because it's a new boss, right? So anytime you have a new boss, it's that true. Can change things for anybody at any level. So you wonder, all right, how's that working relationship going to go? Also, since the time he took over, it was pretty much, all right, you make the moves. Like, you make the moves. Yeah, there's going to be like the luxury tax second apron, so you have to approve certain things, but it is different than, say, the Red Sox GM or the Patriots GM and like how crazy the contracts can be there and like how much you're really spending on it. So it's more a little bit more of like, all right, you got to play within these lines. But they told him, make the best team possible. And he did. He's so much better at this job than I ever thought he was going to be. He has seemingly hit on every move that he has made. He's continued to make the team better and better and better. So now let's say they get to a point where they're like, hey, this is great, but we need you to trade Jaylen Brown. And then you're like, well, wait a minute. Now am I doing everything I think is best for the team, or do I really have to sacrifice all this other stuff? Like, I wanted Jaylen Brown. I coached the guy. I gave him the Supermax deal. I think everybody else wanted to trade him. I said stick by him. We've won a title. Who knows? Maybe at this time, maybe two titles, and now you're making me save him so we can save some money on luxury taxes?
That's a good point. Like, I'm thinking about Brad present day. Mm-hmm. The Celtics are the best team in the league. Everything he's ever asked for in terms of resources he's gotten.
Yeah.
And if that's no longer the case, would he get a wandering eye to college hoops? I mean, maybe.
Because that's what scared me about Wick's comment, more so than even the one about, like, no team will be in the second apron. The thank God for Brad Stevens. Meaning, like, it's about to get real challenging for him. And he's pulled a rabbit out of his hat every time thus far. And he's going to need to do it again. So, like, hey, remember that time you found Derek White and nobody really valued Derek White, and then you did, and then he was great? We need to get rid of him, and you need to
find another one.
Yep, the next Drew Holiday. Like, that guy's just going to shake free, or Porzingis, or whatever. Because we also haven't really seen Brad have to draft really yet. He's taken a couple of guys here and there, but nobody's really – he has been awesome at trades. He has made unbelievable trades, and he has gotten to the team to where they're the best in the league. Stan Van Gundy before the year said it's the best roster ever assembled. We made it a little strong, but I mean, that's just high praise for Brad Stevens.
Not even the best record in the Eastern Conference, for God's sake.
Probably not the best Celtics team of all time, but it doesn't matter. It just matters is like they're the best team right now, and he might have to change his overall approach to how he does it.
You still think he'd coach again?
I do. Yeah. I mean, that's just
a gut feeling, right? Like, we have no idea, but I don't. Once you leave coaching and you realize how good life is when you don't have to, you know, go on all these. I mean, you have an actual life when you're a GM, I feel like. You work during the day. You go home at night. You see your family. As a coach, I'm not saying there's none of that, but it's much more limited. You'll have to go on road trips and travel. Maybe on some level he misses it, but yeah. I don't think he'd go back to it. But that's just a gut feeling. I don't know.
Yeah, but some of these guys, I think, just, like, love coaching. And I know it's different, you know, when guys go to like the media than say when they go to being the GM, but like, you know, John Gruden went and did Monday Night Football for years and years and years, but it's like he's still a coach. Like, he's still a maniac with like X's and O's.
But like Ainge never went back to coaching. He just was a GM.
No. But I don't know if he was really
Pat Riley never went back to coaching.
No, I don't know if Ainge really loved coaching.
Good point.
I feel like Brad Stevens was like a psycho, like young gun, bringing Butler.
What about Riley? Riley never went back.
Are you sure? Did he not?
To coaching?
No, I guess he. Well, he.
Oh yeah, he did.
Over
he
the
replaced.
Heat?
No, you're right. He replaced Stan. Yeah, you're right. He replaced Stan.
Yeah.
All right, touche. In my face.
So yeah, boom roasted.
Yeah, he did.
How about you start paying attention to the show and not basketball?
That's true. My race in tennis. I have no money on anything right now.
Didn't Phil Jackson go back too? Didn't he? I'll have to double check that. Or maybe he was involved with the team and then he like went back down to it or whatever.
Yeah, I don't recall with Phil. Yeah, so maybe there's more precedent than I give it credit for.
Maybe. Regardless, I think because Brad was just one of those guys, I kept waiting for it. And then you're like, oh, well, he's so good at this that it would be less of a pull back to coaching. But he just strikes me as a guy that just loves it, right? Like if you're at Butler and you are – you know, bringing a team that nobody's ever heard of to the Final Four. Like, I don't know. It just seems like that's something that he was always going to be. And I've been surprised at this path that he's taken thus far.
Text line. You guys are ridiculous. Celtics sale just happened. You have Brad, Porzingis, Holiday, JB, and D. White all gone.
I'm bracing myself for it based on the interview this morning on the Greg Hill Show. I mean, where Wick Rosbeck is talking about the apron, and thank God for Brad Stevens.
Did Wick not open the door to all
he
that
did.
Stuff?
No, I he mean, did. This isn't from nowhere.
I would have pulled it out of nowhere.
Sure, but we didn't have to.
But Wick gave that to us today. But it's a fair point by the time we did basically do all those things. It's a fair point. Yep. 617-779-7937. If you're curious about what else we've done all week long, we have the Week in Review. That's next.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! We gotta go. Get everybody pile in the minivan, chainsaw. We're going.
And worst...
You guys were as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keefe's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
Holy mackerel, what a week it has been here on Jones and Keefe. It started with one of the great holidays of the calendar year, St. Patrick's Day, and here we are, day two of the NCAA tournament. So we have a lot to get to. Back on Monday, though, one of the topics of discussion was Bill Belichick on the beach with
we have an update.
College-age girlfriend, which we do have an update, but this is what we were saying about Bill and Jordan on Monday.
Speaking of Bill, I think our buddy Jake in Boston wants to weigh in on a variety of topics. What's up, Jake?
Busy weekend.
I also have a source that says she was in on pestering the athletic director, who just happens to be the chairman of the NCAA basketball tournament, to get Carolina in as the last team in the dance.
She's the reason Carolina got in. So hang on. I don't buy that.
How about Jordan and Bill over the week? I know Greg was having a field day with this morning.
Yeah.
So that is doing a little airplane. You know, oftentimes you do it with your kids.
Yep.
Like I have a 2-year-old named Georgie. She likes to get up in the old airplane sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So that's fun. It's outrageous. I mean, they really are something else.
Boy, this grandfather is much too old to be leg pressing his granddaughter. But man, look at the tree trunks on that guy.
It's a little strange. Are you guys recreating a photo from when she was a baby? No? Oh, you're lovers. Oh, this is very, very strange. I'll show myself out.
Yeah, I think she's attracted to the lower half, though, Keith, because I for sure think that's what that is.
So those were just a bunch of photos that were on her Instagram. And then yesterday, now I don't follow Jordan on Instagram, but a friend of the show, Lucy Burge, put on Twitter the, I guess, behind the scenes video that was released by Jordan.
Extra content.
Mm-hmm. You were very impressed by Bill Belichick's lower half. You said the guy looks like he's got really strong legs, even though he's hoisting what appears to be an 80-pound woman above him.
I'm a lower half man, for sure.
No doubt.
And I was impressed by his lower half, yes.
So when you look at like a centaur, you're staring straight at the bottom.
That's where I go.
Let's just say there's a video out there now of like how Jordan got into those positions.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
go on.
To say Bill was struggling would be a bit of an understatement.
I'm impressed.
I'm shocked she didn't hit the deck.
I have a new theory on Bill's legs. Popcorn muscles. Those are glamour muscles. Yep. They're not doing a lot of work because those things were shaken.
You might be right.
Like leaves. Either that or what take was this?
True.
Was this take 1,000 and Bill's like, I'm 70.
She's covered in sand because she keeps falling. Yeah, that's also true.
Yeah.
Speaking of being in shape, Jones ran down the hallway
back in. I have to hear this again.
Do a live read.
Right. You'll receive $10 in bonus bets for every win your team has in the tournament. You can download the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app today and get started. Odds and lines are subject to change. Sprinting down the hall trying to get these reads. I'm dying over here.
I wasted
too much air. How I'm feeling today, I would say better than Tracy Morgan.
Yeah.
But if you heard that last live read, you could tell I'm hurting a little bit. Well, I forgot my reads down the hall.
So you just ran like a 4:06:30 down there?
No. This is the saddest part about it. But it's a real light jog down the hall.
Oh, no.
Real light jog. And then I got down. All of a sudden, it really, really caught up to me.
I could tell you were kind of gasping for air about like 20 seconds in. I'm like, oh, that's going to be a problem.
Not going to be good. I started stumbling during my picks. And then you read and you're like, God, there's a lot of words left here. So that's how I'm feeling today.
Good Lord. That was a tough go.
That was not my favorite moment.
No.
That really was not. I think what happened is you start doing the read, and in your head you're like, I don't have enough air left to get through this.
And you do short breaths.
Then you panic a little bit. Yep. I'm like, I'm just gonna try to hammer through this and not breathe. And then that really backfired.
You cut off all the oxygen to your brain.
Turns out you need to breathe.
The problem.
Yeah, that was an issue, yeah.
Now, Monday was also a bit of a show outing as the four of us went out to the Bruins-Sabres game.
Brag.
Kept our point streak alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they did lose in overtime.
Out of four possible points when we're in the building, yeah.
But an absolute bizarre interaction took place between Jones and one of the Celtics celebrity fans.
The individual?
Comes right over.
Celtics celebrity fan of the Bruins game.
Yeah, not Aztec Geno.
Has sidled.
He literally appeared.
No, sidled right up next to us.
We sat there. You went, is that so-and-so? We're like, yeah, I think that is so-and-so. Yeah. And then we started chicken.
No, I said, wearing a chicken hat on his head. That's definitely who that is.
All of a sudden, I looked to the left and he was right there.
No, I said, do you think that's the same guy? I said, it couldn't be. And he said, it couldn't?
And then as soon as he turned, I saw a good clear look at his face. I'm like, that's definitely that guy.
It couldn't be. No. It is the same building. It's the same hat.
Another grown man with a chicken hat.
Looks like a chicken. No, but he came over and he had a proposition for you.
Yeah, he wanted to do like a almost a prison transaction is what it was. We were bartering for my hat.
A friend of mine really wants this hat.
I was offered drugs for my hat.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Is that accurate? What went down?
And you just gave him the hat, which I feel like two things should happen. One, you keep the hat and say no, I'm good, or take the drugs. You didn't do any of that.
He can't stay off the weed.
You didn't do any of that. You were just a nice guy. You're like, yeah, take
really
the hat.
Drugs.
I'm like, take my hat. Well, that's true.
Really.
I was offered.
It sounds better.
I was offered quote unquote joints.
And you didn't take the joints.
I didn't take
and
the joints.
And then you were down one hat.
Who knows how many joints, too? It was just joints.
Good point.
The best line in there is Keith going, it couldn't be.
Couldn't be.
You think that's him?
Couldn't be.
No. Pretty sure it is. Bruins game, Jones. Yeah, he wouldn't go to a Bruins
game. It for
game.
Sure was him. We also had a great exercise earlier in the week where we took every NFL team and looked at the quarterback position, and we said, do they have the guy, a guy, or no guy?
Mm.
You and I disagreed on Drake May, and then a caller came in and had yet even another take.
Mm. Tim in Brockton, is May the guy or a guy?
Drake May is no guy. I don't know why you guys have him as the guy.
No
he's
guy.
Ridiculous.
No guy.
Yeah, he's. What has he done? He is below media core. He's below media.
No. Okay, Tim. No,
he had the worst offensive line.
No,
he has
no
offensive coordinator, no wide receivers.
The guy can't.
Tim, hang on.
Okay,
our quarterback,
hold on.
Hang
on.
No, Tim, you listen. The quarterbacks on the no guy group, not tier, definitely not a tier group. Justin Fields, Anthony Richardson, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, Will Levis, Tommy Cutlets, and Derek Carr.
He's above those guys.
Drake May's with those guys?
Let me get this in. Patriots believe he's not even confident enough to handle a diva wide receiver. So how is he the guy?
Well, we have a new word added to the Jones and Keefe lexicon, and that would be media core. He is media core.
Below media core.
Then he started saying it a second time, and then he corrected himself to me. It took him three times to say mediocre.
I know. He got there, though.
He landed
that plane.
He
still
did.
Says he's a Drake May's a bum, basically is what he said.
Yeah, he's no guy.
Which is fine.
He's no guy. That's
a take.
You say that somewhere. That's fighting words.
Yesterday was the first day of the tournament. It's also the busiest vasectomy day of the year, and so we discussed that a little bit on the program.
Can I add a late contender?
Yeah.
Text line.
Okay.
Two vasectomies.
Wait a minute.
First was a mess.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Second was a breeze.
Wait, what?
But at least I got to say that one snip will not suffice for a man of my virility.
Sick brag, bro.
Tyreek Hill? This guy. He didn't get two of them? I thought, because you can't get it reversed.
First one was a mess.
Like, I didn't do it right. So I got a really good deal. Yeah, I got a really good deal on one. Didn't take. And two more kids later, I had to go back. Yeah, that's.
I was too potent. Yeah. I was too potent for the surgery.
Well, yeah, because you still got live
stiff
rounds.
Stiff stop.
It is true. After you get it done, you have live rounds for like a little bit. You got to like fully empty the tank, and then you're good.
How long's that?
It varies from person to person, Jones.
Seven.
God, I need some time.
It's like a clogged artery.
Yeah.
I'm doing this. I'm doing this for us.
Yeah, this
okay?
is.
Leave me alone. I'm doing this for us.
That's reckless, though. That guy had to get two. That's not good. Hopefully, you got like the second one free. You shouldn't have return customers on that. That should be like you meet this guy or gal once. See you later. Thank you. Yeah. Bye. No, I mean like whoever does it, whoever does the surgery. I'm not sexist, Jones. There are women doctors, Jones.
I was like female vasectomies.
And lastly, we had a. Right before we got on the show yesterday, we found out that there was a new owner of the Boston Celtics, and we started to walk our way through that a little bit. Stupid question, but maybe you can provide a smart answer.
It's okay.
If the Celtics win the title, does this guy hold up the trophy first?
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Like, so he bought the team now, so like it's good, so like he's the one.
If I put up six
guys, it's been a hell of a 3 months. I don't know all your names, but I do want to say.
What is it again?
Today we are champions! Like, who is this guy?
I want to hand the trophy to, is it James Mazzulla?
Nope.
Bob Stevens?
Bill Chisholm. He just walks off with it. We are all Celtics! This guy barely got...
Anything is possible!
It's covered in champagne. Like, dude, you just got here.
Dude.
We don't know... You don't even know us.
Come on.
I can see that.
I want Irv.
I want Irv
to
get up
it.
Here. We know it's been a long, hard battle for you, Bill. You've been with this team since the beginning. He's like, no, I popped in with 10 games left in the regular season. What a ride. If every year's like this, it's going to be worth it. It's a question. It's another unknown question right now.
I think Wick is going to take the trophy. I think he is now. Listening to him today, we didn't play this clip, but he did say he doesn't expect the sale to be finalized until like July.
Got it. So then it would be. Then it would be.
I mean, this guy still spent them. If he wants the trophy and he's there, he loves the Celtics. He goes to every game,
I should say. If all of a sudden come playoff time, we see him in like the front row, then I think it'll be him.
Then he'll be taking the trophy.
But if it's not, if he's just kind of out of sight, out of mind until like the sale's finalized and all this
stuff.
Would
you spend $7 billion to be out of sight, out of mind?
No. I mean, Irv did. Yeah.
True.
I personally, no. Have I ever been out of sight, out of mind? No. That'd be front and center.
So, I mean, what self-restraint he'd have if he stays out of the picture?
Be impressive.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. There's your week in review.
Good stuff, as always, every Friday here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line here. We will get back into the Patriots, their decisions in free agency. Steph Diggs left without a visit. We can get back to what the Patriots should do at 4 as well. All that coming your way next.